Hey there, Missionato listeners, and welcome to another episode of the League of Extraordinary Applicants, the podcast where we chat about what it takes to create a winning application in today's super competitive landscape. I'm Stephen Black.
And I'm Cleo Handler. We're your official tour guides for this insider's journey. Each week, we tackle a specific topic, giving insight into each of our Ivy League experiences and the applications that got us there. Stephen, why don't you start us off by telling everyone where you went to college?
I went to Harvard. I graduated in 2007. My major was visual and environmental studies with an emphasis on film theory. Cleo, tell us about where you went. I believe you double majored in psychology and drama, and you went to a school that was full of overdramatic people.
Close. The majors are correct, but if by dramatic you mean really exciting and amazing people, then yes, I went to Yale, so that would be completely accurate.
Nice. On the last two episodes, we told you all about emotional narrative, which is writing with the intention of evoking strong feelings in the reader.
Emotional narrative is essential for compelling essays, but it definitely takes some practice. You might find that you've poured your heart and soul into the first draft, but it's not so great.
That's okay, though. In fact, it's to be expected. Seasoned writers will tell you that the first draft of anything is far from perfect. As long as it has some good bits you can develop in further drafts, you're in great shape.
That's really the key here. Each draft should be better than the last. As you work on your essays, there will ideally be a steady progression of improvement. Which brings us to the title of this episode, something you should internalize like a mantra.
Now everybody get into meditation position as you get ready to recite this as a mantra. Writing is rewriting. So you got to think it, you have to live it, you have to breathe it. Cleo, let's walk our listeners through the process and highlight a few key points where rewriting and revising are most important.
The first thing I want to note is that, like we said, the first draft does not have to be perfect. Just write. Get something on the page. Starting is the hardest part, honestly, so once you have it all on the paper, don't worry about making it perfect yet. Just give yourself the permission to write a full draft from start to finish without stopping.
Yeah, that's exactly right. You know, we're on the topic of first drafts here, and what I always tell people is that it's okay to sometimes scrap an entire first draft. You know, it happens. You've written something. It's not great. It's not connecting. It doesn't have any future potential to become a great essay. So just scrap it. You know, ultimately, you'll save yourself a lot of time and headaches in the long run because, you know, you won't be working on an essay that has little potential to begin with.
Exactly. It may be rambly. It may be poorly structured. It could be boring, but that's okay. At least you have something. And now you can start editing and fine-tuning and focusing your argument. And that's where it's going to get better and better and more clear, more concise, more compelling. So just don't expect it to be all of those things right away.
Yeah, Cleo, you definitely hit on the second biggest problem in first drafts, rather, is structure. So, how do you fix this? What do you do? You know, like Cleo said, you figure out what's working. You know, at least you have it. At least it's in front of you. You've written it. So you figure out what's working. You pull out those pieces that work, shuffle them around. What's the best arc of your essay? You know, it needs to have a progression of emotions and growth. And so sometimes if the structure is not right, all it takes is a little bit of organization to get things right.
And it's okay if that takes some time. You know, that's why you want to start early. Give yourself a few weeks, months even, in which it can all settle and you can really find the structure that's going to suit your essay best.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, the best piece of advice is, you know, you can't get frustrated at this point in the process. Like Cleo said, give yourself weeks, ideally months even, because you want to have time to develop this. It's the struggle of creating an essay is a valuable one. You know, the greatest artist in the world, you know, like Michelangelo, he didn't just wing it with the Sistine Chapel. He planned, he worked, he spent years and painting those frescoes over the course of four years. Now, you know, it shouldn't take you 4 years to write a good essay. But yeah, it's going to take time. You're going to need to rework it. You're not going to get it right the first time.
Right. You can save the improvisation for your freshman year at Yale when you join an improv group with all the super dramatic and amazing people. But now is not the time to improvise on your essay.
Like I said before, Yale is full of over dramatic people, and that's exactly what Cleo's talking about. I mean, I'm sure they're just ripe with improv groups who are just going around and putting on zany, crazy shows for everybody, right?
Oh, they are.
Nice. All right, so let's get to our second topic. The second topic we want to talk about is the sort of when you're in the middle of things. You're in between the first draft and the final draft. And, let's call this the midpoint of the process. This is where you're nailing down some big picture ideas and you're just starting to work on the micro level. So the most important thing, how do you know that you're at the midpoint is that your structure needs to be dialed by now. It needs to be right on. The arc of the piece is in place, right? The intro, the body, the conclusion, whatever it is, like that's all there. The pieces are there. So then you can start working on a smaller level.
Yeah, absolutely. One tip I have that I found is helpful for students to try to improve the essay structure is to imagine someone else telling the story that you want to tell. Maybe it's your dad, maybe it's your best friend, whatever. Think about what is different about the way you might tell this story, as compared to the way your dad might tell it. What's unique about your perspective? The sensory details about what you smelled, what you felt, what you saw, what makes your perspective unique? Once you've found that, hone in on it and really nurture it.
Yeah, I think w working on that with your perspective is tip number one for sure. Tip number two, I would say, is making sure your flow is getting there. Ask yourself, how's the essay moving along from start to finish? And one thing that you can do is you can vary sentence structure and length. You don't want all sentences to start or end the same way or be exactly as long. So yeah, you really want to get into the micro level there in order to improve the flow of your essay.
Right. And one thing you can do to try to test out your arc and see how it's flowing is to tell someone who you trust who's helping you with your essay, a best friend, a mentor, tell them your story from start to finish, not necessarily reading the essay because you haven't structured it perfectly yet, but just tell them the story and see. Gauge their reaction. See when they're the most interested. Are they asking questions about, like, oh, what was that like? That's so cool. Tell me more. Are their eyes glazing over? Do they look completely bored? That can be a real interesting metric for you as a writer to see what the most dramatic parts of this essay are. What are the dull parts that you might want to speed through a bit more to get to the juicy bits? This can really be seen like a movie. So what's the montage? What's the main dramatic moment? What's the turn? So see how someone else responds to it, and that can help you come up with a flow.
Yeah, really, in order to do that, in order to make it exciting and dramatic, like Cleo's talking about, the key, one of the keys here, which we talked about in how to write emotional narrative, is it's all in the details. Details are huge. The weakest parts, the parts where, if you're reading it to a friend or a mentor or parent, like Cleo suggested, the weakest parts, lack emotion and or detail, probably both, and that's why they're boring and that's why they're not working. And like Cleo said, if you're writing these parts that don't have great detail, and it's not exciting or dramatic like a movie is, then your audience's eyes are going to be glazing over. I mean, your audience is going to be doing their best impression of, being at a Yale freshman improv show. It's just excruciatingly boring.
Oh, look at you. You're so good at improv. You might as well join yourself.
I'm amazing at it, Hey.
No, seriously, though, that's a good point. And you can also do the old tactic of closing your eyes and having someone else read the essay to you, and then trying to literally imagine it like a movie in your head. And is it clear? Does it look the way, sound the way, feel the way that you want it to? Are there moments that you thought would be really exciting and dramatic that aren't really sounding that way? Whatever you notice, take that into account and try to make those changes to make it as great as it can be.
That's a great tip for sure, reading it aloud. The one thing I'll say before we close out this section is that, you'll be surprised what a difference it makes to hear it. There's a difference between hearing it in your head as you're reading it and actually reading it out loud. You, like Cleo said, you will find the points that are have clarity or lack it, and that's really what you want to do here. So, before you reach that final draft stage, at least once, read it out loud.
Absolutely. So now I think that brings us into the final polish stage, that, those final few edits trying to make it as strong as it can possibly be. Once you have all the information on the page, you have the structure in place, the flow, now you want to polish it. So the first thing I just want to say is that you have to eliminate all of the grammatical errors. Don't be lazy. They're very easy to fix and they'll make you look like an amateur, and you don't want that.
It's just that's so it's such a red flag to an admissions committee if you have grammatical errors or even spelling errors, and you'd be surprised how many people actually submit with both. And the one tip I want to give here about how to get rid of those is sometimes you've read over a mistake so many times, maybe the word is a homonym, it's spelled the same, your or you apostrophe re, and you've just read it so many times that you're starting to accept that it's just a part of your essay. One thing you really want to do here is you want to get a fresh pair of eyes on the essay. You'd be surprised at how easily they'll be able to pick out that typo or grammatical error, the one that you've looked over a million times by now.
Yeah, completely. And another thing to note about that is that this also applies to word choice, diction. If you've been going through your essay and just changing all of the words to their more eloquent sounding synonyms, they might also not really work. So that's another thing that a fresh pair of eyes can be really helpful for, is making sure that all of the words, especially your SAT vocab that you've thrown in there or what have you, making sure they're all really apt descriptions and none of them sound jarring or not quite right, because that'll also take a reader out of the essay and make them, lose interest for a minute.
The word we use in the SAT world is apropos. That makes sure
Yes,
your words are
indeed.
apropos. So yeah, and I mean at the same time, you want to be economical as well. You need to be working in the final draft stages. You need to be working with a scalpel and not a hatchet. You need to have surgical precision here. And like Cleo said, you might have been adding some. You might have been going crazy with the thesaurus, adding all these great words, but maybe they might not work, or maybe an entire clause or an entire sentence isn't necessary. So don't get married to your words. Look at each sentence and say, is this adding to the essay? If not, cut it. I mean, it could have the most brilliant wording ever, the most wonderful use of alliteration and assonance that you're just so, oh, you're the next Wordsworth. I mean, you're so impressed with your own writing. But look, if it's not adding anything to your essay, cut it. Because at the end of the day, every sentence needs to be working towards the main point of your essay. And those that don't, gotta cut them.
Right. There's always, almost always, I should say, a simpler, more direct way to say something that still packs the same emotional punch. And you want to always choose that option when you can, not just because of word limits, but also for clarity, for the strength of your argument. You just want to be as direct, but still powerful as possible. And this also relates to any sort of moments that are confusing or roundabout, or you're kind of, describing something in a long-winded way. Just get to the point. Clarify it all. Make sure that you're not giving anyone any chances to get confused.
Brevity really it wins out at the end of the day. You want to be as concise as possible and pack as much in and not go over the top with your words. I think that's the final point we want to leave you with here. And just from a purely mechanical point of view, I want to leave you with this idea on word counts. Word counts are big. You don't want to neglect them. Absolutely, under no circumstances, even if it's suggested, do not go over the word count. Even
Right.
if it's suggested, this just shows that you can't work within a framework if you go over. But also, don't go too far under. This means you don't have enough to say. If it's an 800 word essay and you write 500 words, then you clearly don't have 800 words to say about yourself, which is a bad thing. I mean, the ideal count that you want to land in is within 0 to 25 words of the suggested or maximum count.
Yeah, that sounds about right to me. And also, you don't want to set yourself up for a situation where you send them 1,000 words and they ask for 800 and they just don't read your last paragraph, which can very easily happen. So you want to make sure that your argument is complete and as strong as it can be, not affected by being too long-winded or too short, like Steven said.
Yeah, the admissions committee, admissions committees are sticklers about things like this. They will not read an essay that is way over the word count. Like Cleo said, they'll just cut it off at a certain point. And that's really detrimental to your application. So you really want to try to get right in the sweet spot with that word count, which is about 0 to 25 words in there.
All right, so I think that's about all for today. Hopefully, by now, you've all internalized the mantra, writing is rewriting, writing is rewriting. Thank you. We can't stress enough that essay writing is a process, one that takes time and effort to conquer.
Next week, we'll be talking about another key piece of writing in your application, except you shouldn't write it or even read it. What could we possibly be talking about? That's right, the letter of recommendation.
Oh my gosh, it's going to be so exciting. We want to thank you all for joining us on this episode of the League of Extraordinary Applicants. We hope that our advice helps you get that much closer to achieving application success.
Please don't hesitate to email us with any questions, and we'll make sure to answer as many as we can in future episodes. Hit us up at podcast@admissionauto.com.
We're excited to hear from you. Questions, comments, feedback, whatever's on your mind. All right, Steven, that's all for this week.
Join Cleo and me next time for another installment of the League of Extraordinary Applicants.